Good evening, class. Today we're going to be doing a continuation from we tested last week. The week before that, we talked about authority within the world system. And then we talked a little bit about authority in the home with the wives, submission to the husband. Now we're going to take another part on that, dealing with authority in the home versus dealing with children, as children being obedient to their parents in the Lord. And this authority with children has to be dealt with in a certain way. And we're going to try to cover that. And I'm going to try to move along. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it because I have a very important subject when we come to authority within the church. And I don't want to get stuck right here with the children, but there's some very important information here that we need to cover. And we're going to try to do the best we can. Just be patient with me today, class. I'm going to take my time a little bit, but I'm going to be moving. Never heard that before. Take my time and be moving pretty good. I just want you to listen closely. Okay, the first we're dealing with today is Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, dealing with authority within the home in relation to the children. Ephesians 6 and 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, that scripture, it might be a little bit of blind to us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is right for children to obey their parents in the Lord. But for a child to obey, that's more to it than just being obedient. He has to learn the process of obedience. Obedience has to be learned, and it's just a blind statement if I say, children, obey your parents, and they automatically know how to do that. They don't know how to do that. They have to be taught and learned and instructed in the way of obedience and submission to their parents. You see a lot of wayward children, especially in these days. These days, children have no respect, no honor, no discipline. They have no regard to rules and regulation. They've gone off because there's been no training in that area. They've not been taught submission. They've not been taught to understand how to obey authority. And partially, it starts in the home. A child cannot be obedient in this world system without understanding obedience first in the home. It starts in the home. And so I can't explain Ephesians 6 and 1 without going to the scripture here. Over in Proverbs. Look at the scripture in Proverbs. And I was reared up like this. A lot of you may have been reared up the same way. And it says Proverbs 13 and 24. "He that spareth his rod hated his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him. Betimes means as often as he needs to be chastened, as often as he need to be corrected. And notice what I did not see here. He that spared his rod hated his son. It doesn't say until the son is 15 years old, until the son is 16, until the son is 20, until the son is 30, and so on and so forth. I think a parent always have a certain amount of authority over their children. And as time goes by, there should be a respect gained. And here's the word, an honor for those parents gained through the disciplinary system that was established when they were children. And that training carries over to adulthood. And, you know, so I didn't see an age limit there. So I think parents always should be honored and respected by their children. But you can't discipline a 30-year-old as you do a 5-year-old. That's a different method because it was with the rod at 5 and should be with words at 30. If not, something is obviously wrong with the home system. There was a breakdown in the system when the children were being reared or raised up. So the Proverbs 13:24, It's a very solid scripture, and it holds such truth. He that spareth his rod hated his son. Some parents don't think they're supposed to put the rod on their children. They think that's old-fashioned way of rearing their children. They think that's not important today. And they think it's abuse and so on and so forth. But the Bible doesn't lie when it says spare the rod. The rod was a correction rod, and it only was not designed to put severe punishment as though to hurt or scar someone for life. No, that's not the object. But it was to let them know that whenever you feel this rod, you're going to feel the rod and have respect for the rod through me. Now, let's look at this other scripture. It's going to give a little bit more understanding of what I'm saying. Look at Proverbs 23:13. I pulled these two scriptures. I could have pulled many more. Proverbs 23:13 says, withhold not correction from the child. She says, don't hold correction from them. Don't let a child go without being corrected. In other words, you don't love that child if you don't correct or chasten that child or keep them from doing what you know is wrong in your sight. And then you don't have to worry about them when they're out of your sight. So withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. You see that? You see that? Yeah, that rod was not designed to kill him or to wound him or to scar him for life. But it was to put a mark of respect upon him. You know, I had a chance to mess with horses a little bit. And when a horse first being trained, a horse is a very sensitive animal. When he's being trained, you know, there's a bit in a horse's mouth that when you want him to stop, you pull back. And when a horse not trained, sometimes you got to almost pull back real hard enough where that bit sometimes it'll cut the inside of the mouth when they're unruly. And when they doesn't want to submit and want to go their direction, you want to go left and you're pulling the rein left and they still want to keep going forward or go the other way or get riled up a little bit. No, they have to learn to respect the bit. And finally, when they're inside of their mouth or in their lips, When you've trained them enough with the bit, you almost don't have to even use the bit because they remember the bit. Same way with a child. When a child gets a certain age, you don't have to use the rod anymore. But they remember the rod. They remember the correction of the rod. And I don't think it's just the flesh part. I think God put spirit with that. I think God put love with that and anointing with that. When you think God put in the word, there's a spirit behind it. And there's a revelation. Children understand and they remember. You see, so it's not just the rod. It's the instruction. Oh, that's the key word. It's the instruction that go along with the rod. And that's what makes obedient children. So when I read the first verse, children obey your parents in the Lord, it wasn't too clear. They can't obey if they've never been taught or learned obedience in the first place. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. So as a child, obedience comes through suffering, through the rod and through correction. You can't talk to a child at the beginning. Some people think they can talk to it, but they don't understand. The rod has a supernatural meaning to it because God said it. It has something to do with discipline and correction. And so it's not to destroy. They said, if you beat him with the rod, he shall not die, Proverbs 23:13. But it brings that child to a place of honoring his parents. Oh, yeah, I got it when I was coming up. Yes, I got it a few times because I always wasn't obedient. I always had my little tricks I wanted to pull, thought I could get away with, and thought I was smarter than my parents. But I got the rod many times. But as I grew older, I began to respect the rod. Yeah, I came to the point and said, well, I'm not going to beat my children like they beat me. But no, I found out it was necessary because those things I learned were valuable to me and no one could take them away. No one can take my training that I received when I was a young boy coming up. No one can take that from me. No one can take the respect that I had for my mother and my father when I was growing up and the respect I had for them. Yeah, there was a price paid for it. But it was done with love because it was not just the rod, but it was the instruction that came with it. And so you can't put the rod down without instruction. You see it? But you can't do instruction without the rod. I'm saying one more time. You can't use the rod without instruction, and you can't do instruction without the rod. They both work hand in hand. God set it up that we didn't do that. God set it up like that. And so you can try to rearing your children without it, but in time to come, you will find out that those children going to miss something down the road. It's going to be like a link in the chain. They're going to think they got something that they don't have, and it'll follow them all the rest of their lives until they're men and women. And then they wonder why they're unruly, and it's even if you don't watch it, it'll flow through into the church. And that's why you have so many rebellious people. Grown men and women don't understand authority. Grown men and women that's come through the ranks, but missed a step. It could have been a step when they were 3 and 4 and 5, and when their parents thought they didn't have to do that. You see it? You see, I want you to know how important this is here. So withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. And then the scripture come in, Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. See, 6, 2 and 3. You got to have a sandwich, something in between 1 and 2 before you can get 2 and 3 to work for you. Look what 2 and 3 said. It says, honor thy father and mother. Honor thy father and mother. Not the child know how to do it. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. See, God put this in here for a reason. If when you honor your father and mother, is the first commandment, he said, that has the promise. God said, I'm going to do, if you do this, God said, I'll do that. And God guaranteed with promise. You see it? Third verse said, that it may be well with thee. And here's the promise, that thou may live long. Everybody stay with me. That thou may live long on the earth. You see, sometimes, you know, people wonder why they go through unnecessary things in life. They don't know that there are promises that backs you up as you get older. This promise when you get older, that you don't die early. So it's saying if you don't honor your father and mother, you may live short upon earth. Possibility. You may live short because whatsoever a man sow that he reap. One scripture, be sure that your sins will find you out. So you just got to get it straight and you got to get the revelation. So this is a revelation. Respect, honor, submission is a spiritual revelation. If you don't get this revelation, you're going to miss some things, some valuable things out on life. That's why this lesson is so important. It's like the root system of Christianity. If Jesus had to go through it, he never went to the cross. The way God wanted him to the cross, if he hadn't learned the things that he learned prior to going to the cross. Not my will, Lord, but let thy will be done. He was submitted totally to the Father. But the Bible said in Hebrews that he learned obedience through the things he suffered. He did some things he did that in his natural flesh. Lord, that if there's another way to do this, let it be. But nevertheless, if not my will, but let thy will be done. Now, class, I spent some time longer than I wanted to get on that, but that's a very important subject we just covered, learning obedience as children. And I want you to know that obedience doesn't stop when you're 5, 10, 15 years old, going through your adolescent period. Obedience even go on throughout your adulthood. It's a difference. It's a difference the way you respect and honor your parents when they get older and the way you talk to them. The way you handle them. And sometimes we get older, we think they don't know better than us. Oh, we're all computerized. We know more. We got books. We've read 100 books on how to do this. And so it's sometimes you tend to not respect their understanding and their knowledge that they have. And sometimes you dishonor them in certain ways, not even know it. Always honor your parents. Believe, always honor your parents. And that's where this scripture in the third verse really comes in at. As you get older, if you keep honoring that those parents when you get old, take care of them when they get old. You look after them when they get old. I've been there, not once. I've been there with my mother, been there with my father. They both go home and be with the Lord. But I honored them. And so I can claim the promise of living long upon this earth. I claim that promise all the time. Yeah. Yes, I have challenges not to disrespect them. Oh, I had opportunity to dishonor them. Yeah, but you kind of just hold your peace and just let them be the father, let them be the mother, even the elder age. It didn't take nothing for me as a man, to submit to my parents, even though I may have strong disagreements sometimes. But you have to submit to them, and just be merciful to them, and because they don't always recognize and understand what you're trying to do sometimes. Just love them. Just love them. Yeah, when they get older. Love them and yield to them. Submit to them. And God honors that when you honor them, that your days may be long upon earth. Now, I went through that, and I hope I made a bit of headway in what I just said. I hope I helped somehow in these two scriptures, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. And so to get you some understanding. There's one more scripture in Titus. Let me read the scripture in Titus. I'm not going to expound on it too much, but Titus says something here that kind of share a little light, more light, on what it's saying. Let me find it here. Colossians, not Titus, Colossians. It says Colossians 3, verse 20. It's still the Apostle Paul teaching. He says, children, obey your parents in all things. He didn't give an age limit here. It didn't say when you're 5, 10, 15, 20. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. You see it? I think this is more of a scripture when you get older and your parents are older. You know, you obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing. God said, you might not understand what you're doing. You might not understand the submissive act you're taking. You dying to yourself, to do things for them, and you losing your life a little bit, to help them out. And yes, I spent a lot of time taking care of my parents when they got older. They had challenges in life, and sometimes it looked like, boy, I was losing ground sometimes. It looked like I couldn't do what I wanted to do sometimes because I was busy trying to take care of them in the elder age. And so it looked like I lost some periods of my life. I could have been doing other things, but God said, no, this is well-pleasing for me. Oh, you see, to take care of them, when they get older. And I think that's important. And as you as an adult get older, that means your parents are getting older. And when they get older, they need special care. And sometimes, you think you're too busy. No, you got to take the time because that's honor and that's respect. And the Bible says right here, I just read it. You see, it's well-pleasing in the Lord's sight. You see it? Obey your parents in all things. It's well-pleasing in God's sight. And have patience with them. See, I'm stuck on this now because I've been there. And I have to have patience with them. I have to really love them. And because you got to be there when you don't feel like being there. I remember some of the time, man, I get called in the middle of the night to come check on your dad. We'd have a sitter sitting up with them, and I would get out of bed 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't feel like getting up, but I know I needed to get up because I had to do the things that were beneficial to them. And I knew in the long run, God was going to reward me before taking care of my parents. So if you got to take care of your parents, do it heartily. Don't do it with complaining. Don't do it with a hard heart. Do it with patience, love, and kindness. Because guess what? One day, we believe living long and strong. But those children, you want them to be there for you one day. You see it? You want them to be there for you one day. And so I'm just passing this on to you because you might need this one day. If you're not there yet, you might need this one day. So hold fast to what I just said. Now, let's move on to authority in the workplace. I'm trying to get to the authority within the church, but I'm almost there. I got a few minutes left. But let's look at authority in the workplace. If I don't get to it today, we'll get to it next Monday. See, so I need to take time with this lesson because it's very important. Now, over in this scripture here, we're going to read the scripture in Ephesians 6 again. Paul did a lot of teaching. From the first verse, he dealt with the children in the parent relationship. And now he's going to the servants in the workplace. Or at this time, slave was a big thing then, and servants and masters. So he spoke in that term, servant and master relationship. Now, we know slavery wasn't always right. But at the time, he's telling you why you are a slave. Here's how you must function. And so we're not slaves today, unless you're still a slave in your mind, you see, in your soul. But there's another function in our workplace. So I'm going to deal with it mostly when it comes to employer and employees, because this is where we are today. We're not slaves to any man except the Lord Jesus Christ. We are prisoners of Christ, Apostle Paul said. And so Ephesians 6 and 5, I'm going to read it in this translation here. It says, servants, be obedient to them. Let me read out of the King James, 6 and 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, and with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto the Lord. Not with eye service, as men pleases, we all know what that is, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You see that, class? With good will, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. That's a divine separation. And this is where the revelation has to come in at. This is where the revelation of submission and obedience has to come in. Servanthood has to come in. And because not as men pleases, not with eye service, as the scripture said. But I want to read this. It's a little more plain out of the not the Message Bible, but as the Passion translation. And listen good. And I think you're going to bring some things home. And if there's any correction you need to make, just make those corrections. Because this flows over in ministry. It flows over, it has something to do with your home. It has something to do with life, period. And sometimes we don't understand this and we'll skip this step. Wanting the greater blessing from God, but you can't skip steps. You know, Apostle said, sometimes people like to use escalators. You see it? But escalator, you don't take steps. You see it? Easy to use steps. You can skip steps with the escalator. You know, you get from one point A to point B, and then you miss some steps. You see, but if you go through the steps, to the progressive step, you know, of a staircase, then you'll go through the procession. You'll go through the process of going through what God wants you to go, and you learn those things on each step. There's another lesson. So you got to take this time and go through the proper steps. And sometimes people skip steps. That's why I'm going here. And so they find out they struggle on their work job. They struggle on the job. They thought it was the employer, so they go get another job, and the same problem there. So it wasn't an employer. It's some things we skipped. Some steps we didn't go. We went to the escalator, and with some steps we didn't go through to learn some things. Steps of obedience, step of submission, step of understanding, step of revelation. Why am I doing it? Why? Because it's pleased the Lord. You work as though you're working to the Lord, not unto men. Now let's read this out of the Passion Bible. I don't want to stay here long, but like I'm staying longer than I want to. I'm just going to try to take my time and hurry up. Look what it says in the Message Bible. Ephesians 6, 5 through 7, I'm sorry, in the Passion translation. Verse 5, those who are employed should listen to the employer and obey the instruction with great respect and honor. Does that mean they're right all the time? No, I didn't say that. I don't say that. I didn't say that. Employers are not always right. But you should follow them with the right attitude and the right heart. Look what else it says. Serve them with humility in your heart as though you were working for the master. Serve them with humility from the heart as though you were working for the master. Can you imagine yourself working for the Lord and doing this thing and doing things just anyway? You know, without doing it with respect and honor, would you treat the Lord any way and do things any way, not from your heart, just doing things just to get to make the time pass and just when someone watching you and when eyes are not on you, you hiding and just trying to get by, just doing enough. And that's enemy's work. That's an enemy's work, and you hate it for a trap. No, when you do it to the Lord, you act as though there's no overseer. You don't need an overseer when you're working to the Lord. And you're going to be honest. You're going to be honest before men and God. You're not going to take nothing from the company. You're not going to bring stuff home that's not yours. You're going to be always conscious of pleasing the Lord. Lord, I don't take your stuff. Lord, I'm not going to take nothing material, and I'm not going to steal time. I remember once when I was working at the chemical plant. That was many years ago. And then I work in the mechanic department. So whenever a piece of equipment broke down in the plant, there was a overtime that was scheduled. And I worked with a whole crew. And we did our own time. We got to work on the equipment. And then all eyes was on me. When the job was over, you know, it may have taken us 2 hours to do it. But sometimes these men always grab at more than they should have. You know, they'll mark 3 and 4 hours when they only work 2. They're trying to round things off. But sad to say, I was on the job with them. And they knew if I work 2 hours, Ronald was going to put 2 hours. So sometimes they didn't want to work with me because they couldn't pencil in what they wanted. Because I didn't believe if I didn't work for it, I shouldn't get paid for it. And so when we got through with the job, and I wasn't the top man on the job, but they knew what I stood for. And so that one for all for one, don't work all the time on the job. No, I'm not going with you if you're wrong. I'm not doing what you do. I'm not doing it. And so it will look quite crazy if I put 2 hours and they put 3 or 4 hours on their time card and we work together. So all eyes would be upon me. How much we putting? How much time you putting on this job? I said, how long did we work? You see, I wasn't a lead man on the job. As a matter of fact, I had been there probably half of the time these guys had been in that area. And I moved there 2 or 3 years, you know, and they'd been there some 10, 15 years. But they knew, you know, I could cause them trouble. But, you know, I said, better to obey God than men. I didn't care what they thought. You know, because God gave me my reward. And so they were always look at me when it was time to fill out their time card because they knew I was going to do what was right. Finally, they stopped asking me. They just go look at my time card and put what I had on it. They put what I had on my time card because they knew I was going to do things right. I learned. Apostle taught us a long time ago, do what is right. Do what is right. And so I practiced do what is right. You see it? Because I want my reward from God and not from men. You see it? You see it? And serving with humility. Serving with humility. I'm still in the 5th verse. Might be the 6th verse now. Serve them with humility in your hearts as though you were working for the master. Always do what is right. You see, that's exactly what I'm saying. And not only when others are watching, so that you may please Christ as his servant by doing his will. I'm almost done. Serve your employers wholeheartedly and with love. My goodness, you're supposed to serve my employer with love? Yes, we do. I remember, because I served with love, I had a supervisor. That man fell in love with me. And he got sick. And he was on his deathbed. And I worked with a large crew of men. And basically, I was one many blacks in our area. And so my supervisor was a white older gentleman. And they called me to his house to pray for him. And I prayed. I walk in the room, and there all the family members gathered around in the room. See, I'm showing you, I did it with love. All gathered around the room, and they had one of the employers that I work with, one of the employees that I work with, he was friends with the supervisor. And they weren't accustomed to having a black man in the house because where I went, the ground turned red. I don't know if you understand this situation. It was way back in the woods area. The Lord was with me. I wasn't afraid because the Lord sent me there. I'm trying to make this story short. So I go there in the room and my supervisor in the bed and God gave me boldness. I walk in that room and I had boldness. I mean, a boldness come up from me. I said, let's everybody grab hands and hold. We're going to pray. Boy, I tell you what. I started looking at me and said, where did this man get this authority from? But I knew who sent me. And we held hands and we prayed. And the glory came in the room. But he didn't have enough faith. He wasn't taught enough to really know how to fight. But this man, one of these employees that I work with, an older gentleman, he walked up to me and told me he loved me. Probably the first time, the first black man he ever said that in all his life. And he hugged me. He hugged me. And God put made an imprint on his heart. And he never forgot that. It'd been many years ago. But I'm saying, by doing it with love, I didn't think I can love on the job. But that love transcended through Jesus, through me. And he saw it and he felt it. And it changed his life. And that's how you fight racism. It took some racism out of him because where I went, very few blacks and none at all went through that area here. And so, but God helped me to make a difference in these people's lives. So with love, as though you were serving Christ and not men, be assured that anything you do that is beautiful and excellent will be repaid by our Lord. Whether you are an employee or an employer. And you know, we're talking about being promoted. I'm on the camera, working the camera, still at the Bible school. I'm talking about way back in 1995. That's over 26 years ago, 1995. Apostles teaching one of these classes here. That's how long it was ago. And I was teaching back then too. But on his night, I would run the camera. And I'm on the camera. And apostle stopped teaching. I'll never forget this. He stopped teaching. He stopped teaching and he looked at me at the camera. See, he said, Ronald, you can quit your job tomorrow and I'll hire you. That was 26 years ago. My goodness. God promoted me. Why? Because what I did was beautiful and excellent, and I was repaid by the Lord being an employee. So I got on staff full time, 1995. And I know where it came from, doing what is right. You see? I did what was right. I did what was right. Now, it's so important to do what is right when it comes to spiritual things. You know, I'm stuck right now because this next lesson here I want to go into is authority within the church. This lesson here, I might start it, but I'm not going to finish it. So I'm not going to quiz on this part here, because I might have to review it again when we come back on next Monday. But there's this subject here. It's a very tricky subject. Apostle Paul says some things. And I want to prelude it by saying, you know, we're going through the book, Spiritual Authority by Brother Watchman Nee. A very great teacher he was. But Apostle taught us, he said, eat the hair and spit out the stubble. What that mean? You mean everything that you might read in the book, it might not be spiritually right. But these people walking in much of the light that they have at that particular time. And so they can only teach according to the light they got. But now we receive abundance of light, revelation, that God has enlightened scriptures with more insight, more understanding, given this apostolic grace upon our apostle. And so more light has shined upon the church. So when you get to a certain subject, the way Brother Nee taught this, need more light upon it, you see it? Because it sounds like the scripture are contradicting one another. You see it? Because over in the First Corinthians 11 chapter, Apostle Paul makes some statements over here. And these statements are very, very strong, especially when it comes to women working within the church. And these things, this scripture had to be rightly divided. And I'm going to make an effort, you know, to through the study and the background that I've acquired in some of these lessons here, to hope clear up some things for you as a class. So you understand that God, when it comes to ministry, is no respecter of person. Say that with me. God is no respecter of person. And you have to understand that. Apostle said, that God anoint whoever he appoints. And so sometimes we got to with caution read and study. And you have to have this sermon. And that's why we aim to teach things in this Bible school according to the apostolic grace that God put on our apostle to rightly divide the word of truth. And listen to one of the scriptures here that we're going to be dealing with on next week. Just to whet your appetite, so you can realize just where we're going on next Monday. I think it starts at the second verse. Here's that third verse, Ephesians 1:11, verse 3. He said, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonor his head." I'm reading a little slow. "But every woman that prayed and prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonor her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven." Now that's going to be explained next week. "For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if she be ashamed, But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but that the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman created for the man." And then it goes on to talk about in another scripture, But a woman is not permitted to teach, he was talking about. Or, I'm paraphrasing this a lot. But you need to be quiet at home. So class, we're going to take off here next week. And I want to thank you for listening so good. I'll see you next week.